Going down for real.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm in the Dog Bowl in Berea. We wanted to wish you a very happy Martin Luther King Day today. Hopefully you aren't working. You guys are out enjoying yourselves in this beautiful climate that we have here in Northeast Ohio.
But nice somebody has to hold it down.
Nice day for golfing and boating.
Yes.
In other parts of the country.
Yeah. I mean, two more days like this and you could golf.
Yeah, maybe.
Sure.
Yeah. If you're the kid's dad would be golfing. The kid's dad has a 40-degree rule. If it's over 40, he's out there.
I could definitely do that if I had the time.
I have like the itch. Right. I know. Yes. If you had the time. Well, we are here. We'll be with you for the next 2 hours. Want to talk to you, obviously, 216-578-0850. The big news first out of Berea, Dante Whitner will replace Earl Thomas in the Pro Bowl. Now that Earl Thomas is going to the Super Bowl, and Dante Whitner is now in his third straight Pro Bowl. That means the Browns, three-quarters of their starting secondary Pro Bowlers. That's pretty impressive. Joe Hayden, Dante Whitner, and Tashaun Gibson.
So that's no surprise, though.
No surprise. So congratulations to Dante Whitner. And speaking of the defensive backs, we are going to go ahead and look at that position group at 2 o'clock. We're going to recap that position. We're going to get into the grades for that position, which I thought was the absolute strength of this team. And I would argue, and I will make the case, the best secondary in the National Football League. So congrats to Dante Whitner. Our Ohio Business Machine Hot Topics of the Day, the Super Bowl set, Seahawks and the Patriots. Are you surprised that those teams made it? Are you excited for the matchup? Do you care? Let us know that. Kyle Shanahan going to the Atlanta Falcons to be their offensive coordinator, where he will reportedly join Dan Quinn, who will become the head coach once his season is done with Seattle. No real updates for the Browns on their offensive coordinator search, other than that we know they had some interviews in here last week. John DeFilippo was here. Mark Trestman was here. And I heard some positive things about some of those interviews, especially the Trestman one. And we'll talk secondary, as we said, the Browns secondary. How do you see the secondary shaping up going into next year? Justin Gilbert, where does he fit in? Do you re-sign Buster Skrine, who's a free agent? Do you lock up Tashaun Gibson to a long-term deal and a restricted free agent at the end of this season? So think about all those things there. And again, three-quarters of the Browns secondary now going to the Pro Bowl. We'll have sound bites from yesterday's games from Russell Wilson, Mike McCarthy, Aaron Rodgers, Andrew Luck, and Bill Belichick. We will also hear from Jim Donovan, the voice of the Cleveland Browns, at 2:30 p.m. Eastern. But Matt, let's just start in the obvious place, and that is, first of all, hold on, actually, before we get into there, you know those Rob Lowe commercials?
Yes.
Do you like those Rob Lowe commercials?
No.
You don't?
I did, but I see them too frequently now, okay. And now I dislike them. When I see each one, I laugh, and of course, like, you know, makes me think that's good marketing, because it lures you in to what they're going to do next. But now that I'm seeing, like, the buff guy over and over again, the hairy guy over and over again, the scrawny guy over and over again, I'm like, what is going to be next? And it doesn't seem like they have another one. And now I'm ready to, like, move over to Progressive.
Okay. All right. But let's just go back
or
one time.
Or Time Warner Cable.
This
or
is something that has been bothering me. Gibbs, and I don't know. What do you think of those ads, Gibbs, before we get into the championship games?
Oh, okay.
Gibbs.
Thanks, Gibbs.
Gibbs is speechless.
Are you talking to me?
Yes.
Sorry. I'm doing, like, four other things. What were we talking about?
Gibbs, I said, what do you think of those Rob Lowe commercials?
I love the Rob Lowe commercials.
Okay, so do I.
I can't stop saying bro.
Okay, so Meathead Rob Lowe is probably my favorite one.
I don't know, the perp one where he's like creepy guy.
Hairy guy, scrawny guy,
the
creepy guy.
Through the
guy.
Blinds, yeah.
Okay, this is my question, though, and this has been bothering me. How did they do Meathead Rob Lowe? How was that done? Because that is clearly his head, but like, how do they do that?
Dude, I mean,
movie magic, but
yes,
that's his head though.
I understand, but I think that it has to be movie magic, because there are so many times. I mean, you look at Avatar and what you can do with the green screen now, and it's, you know, as long as money's not an issue, which I think it's not for DirecTV, it's an infinite ability to get it done.
Yeah, but that seems like a lot of money to put into an ad to have that kind of life.
Well, you know what? Look at the women that grace the covers of every magazine that's on a shelf. They're airbrushed to the, you know, out the wazoo.
Right, but this is an ad. Anyway, so this has been bothering me. And Gibbs, I don't know if it was bothering you or not as well. So I looked it up online. I Googled it. I'm like, how did they do Meathead, like, behind the scenes? So there is nothing about this which drives me nuts. The only thing that there is on a tweet from Rob Lowe himself on January the 12th. that says, in case you're wondering, I trained for 10 weeks to play Meathead Rob Lowe. I would never fib to you. Take that at Jake Gyllenhaal.
No way.
No way.
No way, right?
No way.
No way.
10 weeks is not enough for a to turn
He's jacked.
He's jacked, but I'm just telling you from a muscle building standpoint, anybody that goes to a gym, I don't care how meticulous you are with your diet. I don't care how much weight. You just can't go from the way Rob Lowe normally looks, which is probably like the average gentleman walking down the street who runs on a treadmill and lifts weights for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
To that in 10 weeks. Because you look at like Gerard Butler, it took him like 3 months, you know, to get into shape for the movie 300 to be that ripped, you know. But you can't just bulk like that.
Yeah, that's why I say you added like 50 pounds of muscle.
Yeah, there's no way.
No way, right?
Well, especially for like a 30-second commercial.
Right. Why would he do that? Right.
Yeah.
He's not getting paid enough to do that. Now, the other thing that's interesting about Meathead Rob Lowe is, and yes, I've studied Meathead Rob Lowe is one
you DVR the commercial.
Is that Meathead Rob Lowe's got a pretty sweet setup. He's got a 2-car garage with a jet ski. He's got flat screens all over it.
Your bench press in the middle of his living room.
His house is nice. Meathead Rob Lowe's
there's a
right.
tanning bed in
is
the
it
garage.
Like a Miami?
He's got his own tanning
living
bed.
In Miami, right?
Meathead Rob Lowe's not a bad case for cable. To
not
be
at
honest.
All. Not at all.
That's the only one where I think they got off track there. But Rob Lowe, so that is the one tweet, and it was favorited 1,000 times. It's been retweeted like 500 times. In case you're wondering,
no
I
way.
Trained for 10 weeks to play Meathead Rob Lowe.
Not a chance.
I would never fib to you.
Fibber.
Take that, Jake Gyllenhaal.
All he would have to do is it probably, using that movie magic, it would have been way too difficult to have him be normal Rob Lowe to become that buff.
Well,
so we probably had to put on maybe, you could put on 10 or 15 pounds in 10 weeks and then pump him up from there with the movie magic. To look bulkier. But you can't have no bulk and go to bulk.
It really like it really looks it boggles my mind.
It boggles your mind. What boggles my mind is the fact that when you have one responsibility in a football game and your number is finally called and you go backwards to try to handle a freaking onside kick when all you have to do is attack and block somebody.
Okay, so we're going to get to the NFC
Please
Championship
do.
Game right now. How do the Packers lose this
I've been
game?
On the hands team.
How do they lose that
I've
game?
I've been on the hands team.
Didn't How we watch, lose that game?
Didn't Dude. We watch the Browns lose a game in Foxborough last year?
Yes.
Yes.
That same way?
Similar.
Similar, but okay.
How's yes. it any different?
Watching, well, first of all, I've noticed one thing. Again, a great friend of mine, former teammate of mine, both at Ohio State and also in Green Bay as a part of my Super Bowl championship year, A.J. Hawk. A.J. Hawk's role on that defense has diminished with Clay going from outside to inside. So in some cases, he's had an amazing career to be drafted, five overall or fifth overall, make a ton of money there in Green Bay and been a part of some very, very good football teams. But I think his day has come to an end. And we'll talk about the fake field goal first. A.J. Hawk's responsibility is the end man on the line, the wing. That is his coverage. Okay, and what happened was, is the guy, of course, delayed and then released, and AJ sucked up to try to make. I mean, I think BJ Raji could run down the kicker or punter or holder, whoever it might be, from getting 8 yards. Okay, for a first down, but AJ feels the need to come up and deviate off of his responsibility. That's what number one is. Do your job. I was talking about, you know, 1/11th of the process. To get your job done is how you play winning football. A.J. Hawk tried to do someone else's job and gave up a touchdown. That's number one. He covers that wing on the field goal team because I've played that many times in my career as well.
And it's from the 19. There's no, like, what's the point? Why are you even, just let him kick the field goal.
Right. Exactly. And then, secondly, I've been on the hands team both in San Diego, in San Francisco, and in Green Bay as well. I was never a receiver, like a Jordy Nelson, a Randall Cobb, or, I think it was Greg Jennings, Antonio Gates, or LaDainian Tomlinson, who were the jumpers to go up and get the ball. I was always a front line guy, which meant if the ball were to kicked at me, I could potentially field it with a better set of hands. But my job is, and I've always been taught, you can't cross the line of scrimmage until the ball is kicked, but when the ball is contacted, you immediately go, as you saw the replay, the three other guys on that front line go attack
and take the
whooping to the Seattle guys, because what you do is you create a buffer of space for Jordy Nelson to operate in. If you let them come to you, you're then getting knocked backwards with, 8 yards worth of running room, knocked back into a receiver. So you go get them and you take the punishment to them to create that space.
And
for
Jordy Nelson was right there.
Dude, he was ready to granny catch it, you know, in the basket and get right and immediately take it right to the ground so that nobody could knock it out, get that big hit on him. Like you see a lot of receivers that cross the middle do. They catch it and get down because they know somebody is headhunting to take them out. So not to place blame, but I think that McCarthy himself and the play callers got super conservative. You hear Aaron Rodgers talk about no first downs in the fourth quarter, just consistently giving the ball right back to Seattle. But that's one thing that really bugs me because I know Sean Slocum is a great coach. He's the special team coach there in Green Bay. He coached me up. He is meticulous in making sure that everybody knows their job. And when two guys, one veteran, one young guy, go out and do their own thing, that's how you lose football games.
That's how you lose football games, and that's what they did. How about the two-point conversion? How does that happen? How does that ball not get knocked down?
I don't know, but it's terrible.
So for you watching that, you were rooting for the Packers.
Of course, absolutely. And I, as a former Packer, and majority of those guys, you know, Clay and Aaron and AJ, I mean, all those guys are still all mostly, you know, Jordy, are all very much the same. You know, James Stark, Sitton, I mean, you name it, I probably played with them. And so I definitely was rooting for them. And a lot like you and a lot like the kid and everybody we talked, as we talked last week, is everyone's kind of over Seattle. That whole tough guy role. And, you know, they won last year and beat Denver. And this defense is the best defense in, you know, in history of the NFL and all that. I'm over that. You know, okay, great. You had your heyday. But you got outplayed, as you heard Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy say. We outplayed them, but yet we lost that football game. And I think it's absolutely true.
I also think Morgan Burnett had an opportunity to return that interception as opposed to just sliding down.
I know.
At least if you're going to do that, run until you're about to be
right,
contacted.
And then run out of bounds.
Run out of bounds.
Change of possession.
Slide, but get yourself down in field goal range at least or something.
Yeah.
They made so many questionable decisions, conservative decisions, and I'll tell you what. I know you're supposed to run, et cetera, and that's right, but if I have Aaron Rodgers, you can come out and use a play-action pass, and I bet Aaron Rodgers is probably going to do something smart with the football with Jordy. Sherman was banged up. You got Cobb out there.
And you even a few times down there in the fourth quarter, you know, Aaron had to extend the play, sliding right. Aaron could have went and got 4 or 5 yards and got down without, you know, even though he probably could have got 10 or 9 and put you in a 2nd-and-1 or 3rd-and-1, he could have got your 4 or 5, which is the equivalent to an Eddie Lacy run.
Completely.
With the clock running as well.
I mean, it is unbelievable that they lost that game.
And for that reason, which is one of our OBM hot topics, I am the least bit interested in the Super Bowl.
Well, I had Packers-Patriots the whole time.
As
but when
I.
we did our predictions, yeah. I said because Rodgers wasn't 100%,
you
they
did.
Would lose. So it would be Seattle-New England, which is what we've got now. We'll get into the New England game in a second. But is this one of the biggest chokes in history? I mean, when you were watching, if you were on that Packers team, what happens in the locker room? And Bostic, why does a guy, and what happens in the locker room? This is a good question. What happens in the locker room when a guy does something that he's not supposed to do and it ruins the season for everybody? Because he was never even supposed to attempt to field that ball. That just was never supposed to. That's not.
And
that
everybody
not
knows
job.
That, too. He
and
knows that,
knows
and everybody
that.
Knows that. Do you want to know what it is? You know what that? You know what it's like? In the locker room, on the bus ride to the airport, and on the airport, it's the equivalent to him having Ebola. Nobody wants to look him in the face. Nobody wants to get close to him. Nobody wants to even be around him because, I mean, today, it's a different story. You know, he's getting the hugs. He's getting lifted up.
You think?
Yes, by some people. But a lot of people, you know, the influential people, Aaron Rodgers, who may not have – he may have opportunities to go back, but this is a great opportunity for him to get to the Super Bowl after they played the way they did. He's going to be avoided like the plague because of that awkwardness that comes with it. He'll get lifted up today, tomorrow, the next day. But then the one thing I said to my wife laying in bed is I showed her the onside kick and like how blatantly bad it hits him in the face and how Jordy is literally right behind him, ready to catch it, you know, in the basket and go to the ground with it. I just said, Green Bay Packers, a lot like Cleveland Browns fans, very passionate. I wouldn't be surprised if he's going to get death threats and death letters. It's too much, but that's the world that we live in, is it not?
It is the world we live in. It's too much. I was commenting yesterday. I said if this was like the World Cup and he played for Colombia, he'd be gone.
Sniper, American soldier would shoot him. Somebody would.
It would be. It's unfortunate, and it's just one of those things. As you said, you've been on special teams. How do you do that? How do you go ahead and go and try to catch the ball when you're not supposed to, when that's not even in your all you have one job to do. What is going through your head that makes you do that? Jordy's right there. He's right there. Everything was designed perfectly. And the guy who recovered it's the one he would have been blocking.
You're absolutely right. And so I can't necessarily tell you what he was thinking. And in some cases, football is a very reactive game. Everything always changes. Is the ball on the ground? Is it going to kick high? You know, should I field it? Should I not? Is the one thing I always did as a player, which is why I played as long as I did, is because I knew that doing my job was just enough. You know, when I tried to do other people's jobs, and I had to learn that lesson, you know, early in my career, I would have never done it in a game of this stature. But in a regular season game, you make that mistake, so you get a negative mark, and you affect a football game. You learn that lesson. But the one thing that I would do if I was in his situation is, I'm talking to myself. You know, I'm talking to myself. I'm looking at my two teammates next to me, and I'm going, you got 19, you got 84, I got 60, you know, I got 65, and you got 20. Who do you have? Who do you have? Who do you have? Who do you have? And just double check to make sure that it is ingrained in my brain. And it's like, and then I'm telling myself in my own head, it's attack him. And I'm ingrained, because the same way that he is that guy, you would never want to be him, especially with everything that was on the line. And so I did everything in my power, however it worked for me, to make sure that I was never, ever, ever that guy to make that play with everything on the line.
And certainly he was, and as a result, they got behind 22-19. They came down Mason Crosby, huge pressure, 48-yard field goal, 22-22, and then in overtime, we saw the touchdown pass from Russell Wilson, who every report is saying they're going to make the highest-paid quarterback in the NFL, which I think is a joke. Is he good? Yes, he's good. I'm not a Russell Wilson hater at all. Don't get me wrong, not a hater whatsoever, but not that good.
If Brian Hoyer's a system quarterback and he succeeded, in, you know, he only succeeded when the run game was really, really well, I think it'd be a far stretch to see Russell Wilson play on another football team and do what he does with a great defense and with Marshawn Lynch. It's a luxury.
It is a luxury, and we'll see when Marshawn Lynch moves on, as he's I expect him to do after this. Now, one thing also to think about as we go into break, we'll discuss it when we come back, is we've heard Ray Farmer downplay wide receiver time and time again. We know the Browns in the deepest receiver draft ever, even with knowledge of what was happening with Josh Gordon, not address that position. So although, you know, I want them to take a receiver in the first round, and you do, and many people do, it's probably unlikely that they will take a receiver in the first round. And I think you look at Seattle. Who do they start at receiver? A bunch of undrafted free agents, who a bunch of no-names, and yet here they go. They're going to their second straight Super Bowl. So there could be something to that, because Green Bay had Jordy and Cobb, by far the best receivers on the field, and they are not going to the Super Bowl. And even look at New England. Who's New England's receivers? Look at the two teams in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Who has a legit number one receiver?
Nobody.
Nobody. Who even has a legit number two receiver?
Nobody.
No. New England at least has Gronk, a premier pass catcher, but it's a tight end. But no receivers.
But really they do have their quarterbacks, though.
They've got the quarterbacks. and again, Russell Wilson, I still believe, and yes, he may be a system quarterback, I still believe he's in the top 16 quarterbacks in the NFL.
Absolutely.
Probably the top 12 quarterbacks in the NFL. And that's what you need to win a Super Bowl, as I've said many times. And when the Browns have swung and missed at that probably 22 times in a row, and hopefully it won't be that way for much longer, maybe John Football or somebody else will come to the rescue and get this team the quarterback it needs. When we come back, we will talk a little bit about that receiver position. We will also go ahead and talk about New England's dominant win over the Indianapolis Colts when we come back on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
Take a picture.